Our title of our my message today and title of our book that we're looking at is the 16th chapter of our belief series, and it is on community. We started out our belief series talking about what we believe, and the last few weeks we've been changing from belief to behavior. Our scripture today comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 43 through 47. It's on page 113 in your pew Bible if you want to follow along there. All came upon everyone because many signs and wonders were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home, ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Now, I looked this up in the NIV because I wanted to see just how things might change in different translations. But what I picked up was, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And God added to their number daily those who were being saved. And then I flipped over to the message because I know that's a lot easier to read. But it said, all the believers lived in wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home, every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praised God. People in general liked what they saw. Every day, their number grew as God added those who were saved. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word. Now, I want you to take a minute and look at the back of your bulletin, because this is where we list our vision and our mission. Our mission says, Mechanic Grove Church of the Brethren exists to be a united people, fully following Jesus' teaching through knowing, living, and sharing Christ's love. And the last sentence of our vision says, we seek to reach the lost, serve the least, and transform the community for the glory of God. You know, the reason we exist as a church is to worship God, love our neighbors, share the gospel, and grow in Christ likeness. This is really what we're all about. So our believer series today is talking about community. Community, according to the teachings of this church, is the vital fellowship and responsibility among believers that reflects the Christian life as a shared journey rather than a solitary one. Jesus called his disciples not only to follow him, but to live in community with one another, emphasizing that accountability is essential for discipleship, for sanctification, and service. This accountability involves influencing new believers positively, avoiding causing others to stumble, and living transparently and humbly with one another. The church community is described as a family. It's a body, and it's a fellowship where members are not just attendees, but they're co-owners and co-rulers in the kingdom of God. Belonging to the church means exchanging mere observation for ownership, serving one another, and resisting isolation. The New Testament portrays the church as a closely connected group where members are so identified with the church that they're spoken of collectively as the church itself. How are we to love our neighbors, share the gospel, and grow in Christ-likeness if we don't come together and encourage one another and serve each other? And you know, church is God's idea. The church is a community of people who want to become more like Christ. We're not a building. We're not a steeple. We are the church together. The church is a place where believers can support and love each other through struggles, encourage each other, and just show up in each other's lives. The Apostle Paul's experience of being comforted by the arrival of another believer illustrates the importance of presence and the mutual support within the community. God added to the church daily. In practical terms, community also means pursuing a good reputation outside the church, living with integrity and virtue in the broader society, and representing God well in every aspect of our lives. And you know, even when no one's watching. Biblical community is both vertical and horizontal. It's between us and God, and between us and others. When Jesus prayed to his Father in John 17, he prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciples, and he prayed for other believers, that they would become one, just as he and his Father are one. You know, there's many scripture references in chapter 16 of our Believe series that tell us what the church is and why we are the church, but I'll try to just touch on a few of those references. From the beginning, the Lord said, "It is not good for man to be alone." As good as creation was, it wasn't finished until Adam had, till that first person had a helpmate. Community is not a nice to have addition, but an essential experience for living a godly and healthy life. And it's clear from God's word that people were not meant for separation from him or separation from each other. So one reason that we mentioned as to why we need community is just because we plain need each other. We're only kidding ourselves if we think we can walk this Christian life without each other's love and support. See, sin is sneaky. It never comes right out and advertises itself. It sneaks into our lives unawares and takes us down slowly, one hard decision at a time. So how do we guard against this gradual sin trying to take over? By the daily encouragement of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Hebrews 3:13 tells us to encourage each other daily. This is the good defense against the enemy. Now, Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12 says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If one falls down, one can help him up. We're to pity the man who falls down and has no one to help him up. A cord of three strands is not equally broken." And friends, that third cord is Christ, and we need him. The presence of God is there to sustain this life-giving community. So another reason that we need community is because we can pick each other up when we fall. Galatians 6 tells us that there are some times that we do fall into sin. And friends, I think sometimes we might fall hard. But these are the times that we really need our brother and our sister to come alongside and help us. And Paul tells us that you who are spiritual should take this on. Remember the commercial where the woman falls down and cries, "I've fallen, but I can't get up"? We need to exhibit that kind of mercy and grace for each other that gives us each the confidence that when we fall into sin, that our other brothers and sisters can just step in, help us carry the burden, and thus fulfill the law of Christ, which is the law of love. Please keep in mind, though, that sometimes the helpers are the ones who need help. But asking for help is being part of the community. Don't say, "I can do this alone." People don't know you need help if you don't ask. You need to know that there are other Christians standing beside you who will pray for you, who will encourage you, pick you up when you're down, hold each other accountable. And maybe all you can do and say that your gift is just prayer, Well, then pray, and pray earnestly when you see someone that you feel needs some help. The truth is, we need the church to keep our relationship with God strong, our relationship with others. Keep it strong. That way we can accomplish God's will on earth. Another reason that we need community is to spur each other up toward love and good deeds. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 tells us, "Let us consider how we may spur another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Friends, a pat on the back, somebody to say, "You did a good job," or "I really appreciated whatever they did for you." Let somebody know, because it really means a lot to encourage someone to keep moving on for Christ. Christian fellowship helps us to focus as we continually challenge each other from God's word to reach out and love to others. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote this in his book, "The Christian needs another Christian who speaks God's word to him. He needs him again and again when he becomes uncertain and discouraged. For by himself, he cannot help himself." You know, we all have stuff going on in our lives. Our jobs, our school, so many other distractions. But what really matters and what's going to help our community to grow is if each one of us will give God the first 5 minutes of our day. Talk to him in the morning before you get into all these activities. Randy, in one of our videos for our Sunday school class, encourages us to praise God even before we get out of bed, before our feet hit the floor. Say, "Thank you, Lord, for another day." Thank him for what he has already given. Now, I know there's times of sickness and issues that may arise and prevent a person from actually coming to church. And I am thankful for the streaming services for those occasions. But our online experience cannot replace the togetherness that we feel when we come to church. And there's all kinds of reasons people don't come to church. "Well, it's full of hypocrites. No one talks to me, so who cares? I work all week and Sunday is my only day to catch up. They're always asking for money. They're always singing songs I don't know. And I don't want anybody telling me that I'm a sinner." We need to ask God to help us to reach those who don't come to church, to let them know just how important it is when we gather together. The joy that we have, the fun that we have, the laugh that we have, and the encouragement that we can give each other. Society tells us it's okay just to sit home, stay in our PJs, catch a sermon or two online. But do we want to be a church who follows society's whim, or a church that follows God's principles? You know, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." I want to be a church that the world can see and imitate. We have to show up. We can't show them God's love if we don't gather together. It's a team sport. Do you remember this game we played when we were kids? I don't know if they still play it or not, but Red Rover, Red Rover, I dare someone over. The enemy would look at the home team and see where the weakest link might be so that he can sneak his way in and break the stronghold. Friends, we need to stay with our arms intertwined with each other so that Satan cannot break this stronghold. And you know, Christ might look at the same team and he might see our weaknesses, but he's not looking for some place to break through and disable us. He's looking for some place that we might need to strengthen ourselves, to grow stronger, so that we can encourage and strengthen others. Our scriptures tells us that we cannot survive alone. Coming together to share, to cry, to learn, to support, and care for each other is not only a good thing, but it's necessary for the life that God has planned for us. Now, we read of King Nehemiah asking the king if he could have permission and go rebuild the city of Jerusalem. Permission was given. But Nehemiah could not do this project alone. I'm not going to read the names of all those people who built these gates because I can't. I wish they were all Bobs and Johns and Susies and whatever. But anyhow, what I want to say is the tasks were divided up, and the church, both men and women, joined in and helped. Each person had a special talent to offer, and each played a part in getting the walls built. So don't measure what you do against what somebody else is doing, because we each have our own talent gift that God has given us. And all those gifts and all those talents work together to get the job done. I didn't read of any comparisons when Nehemiah was getting these gates built. They worked together. No cliques, no judging. I love the slogan that Planet Fitness has. They invite you to come and work out because it is a no judgment zone. You can come and work out. Everybody feels welcome. It's not intimidating. What if that was just not a slogan but a reality for all of our churches? We have to leave room for new people to belong, regardless of their station in life. Our behavior and how we treat each other is a reflection of God Himself. And I know that most of us have a special place where we like to sit on Sunday mornings. But what if we switched it around sometimes and sat beside somebody new? Talk to somebody, say something to somebody different. Because I know when we had our combined services on Sunday mornings, people were coming in and looking around and saying, well, somebody's sitting in my seat. But we all come from different backgrounds, but these differences can benefit the whole. God has placed in each one of us a special gift and a special talent, and He designed that before we were even born. Nehemiah could have not built these walls by himself, and it takes each one of us using our gifts to get the job done, different gifts working together. Those who stay connected to God and with His people not only get through it, but their faith and commitment can grow as they see how God and His people work together through tough times. This is what makes us a family. We belong to each other. We are part of the family of God. We are the body of Christ. We are His people. This is what God desired all along. And it's why He created a man and a woman with the ability to reproduce. He wasn't just looking for a friend when He created man. If so, He could have stopped with Adam. But He was interested in building a people, and He gave His life for the people, the church, and the community. We need community, we need support, we need fellowship. And if there's a conflict, we need to do what Nehemiah did. Pause and pray. So what's our job here? It's to live a dedicated life to God so that we can be soul winners for the glory of God, that He may add to the church daily. It might be leading the choir, playing the organ, the keyboard, teaching, preaching, chairing a committee meeting, office work, even cleaning the building. All of these are important, and not one person can do it all. And encouraging and looking out for each other is a hallmark of true biblical community. Now I want to show you a picture of a friend of mine standing in front of a redwood tree. He's at the redwood forest in California. Now these trees can go 300 feet tall. But what makes the amazing thing about these trees is not only their extreme age and their extreme size, they're resilient. They feature a fire-resistant bark and the ability to reproduce through cloning. But surprisingly, these great big tall trees only have a root that's about 6 feet, maybe 12 feet deep. It's not big enough to support the height of that tree. But they grow because they interlock with others. They interlock with the roots of other redwood trees, and together, they can become tall trees. Together, we can grow. We grow by depending upon our community. And Jesus said that he is the vine and we are the branches. We got to stay connected. We got to stay connected to that vine in order for us to grow strong. The last picture I want to show you is this big old ship made of steel. Look at that. But if you take one of those pieces of steel off of that ship, anywhere from the rudder to the hull, I don't know the name of these ships. Anyway, you take a piece of metal off of there and you throw it into the ocean, it's going to sink. Steel does not float. But you put this thing together and it's floating on the water. It takes every one of us to make it happen. Romans 12:5 says, "So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the other member." Just like our Declaration of Independence, we need to sign a declaration of dependence upon each other. So if you can remember to sign that believer's poster out in the foyer today, declare your dependence upon Christ and to your brothers and sisters. So you can see it's not all about me, it's about the we. There are no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. We can't do it alone, but we can more likely do it together. It's just hard to be a solo Christian. Our fellowship and experience the broken and the blessed life of Christ, allowing the revelation of who Jesus is to become part of the we and community. And I recognize that I can't do it alone, but I can do it better with you. Remember that God had dwelt in a temple made by hands, and now he dwells in a new temple in the lives of his followers. So our purpose as a church, as a biblical community, is to do life together. God made this about you and me so that he could make it an us. The verse that you guys have probably memorized from childhood on up, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Put your name there. For God so loved Rita, that he gave his life that I would believe in him. Put your name there, it's personal. That's what God intended. And one more illustration. And I saw this on Facebook, whether it's an AI or not, I don't know. But I liked it. A horse had just given birth and a pack of wolves were hanging around trying to their best to get in and get this young colt. And the mom was trying her best to defend her baby. She was getting tired. And then a whole herd of horses came to her aid, and the wolves had to flee. Let's come together to the aid of our friends here. The things that tie us together is that no one has to carry their weight alone. We're designed to be God's people. God offers us true community through the church that we can't find anywhere else. When we come to realize that Christ is in us and we are in him, our eyes can be opened to the possibilities of a Christian community in a new way. Church and small groups could take on a new meaning. This is how we're to understand that we are called to community, because we need each other, we belong to each other, and we need to bear witness of Christ. Let us pray. Lord, I give myself to you. Thank you that your word challenges us, your spirit convicts us, and your people, when necessary, confront us. We are grateful for the ways that you grow us. Help us to do the work that you had set before us. Show us who you have brought into our lives who will help us do the work together, alongside us. Together, may we accomplish great things for your kingdom and your gospel. Amen.